Hey gang, you might be wondering who should listen to this podcast episode. This episode is a lot of me being coached through mission statement. I'm kind of a guinea pig. Lori gently coaches me, she keeps me on track, and she does some gentle reflection. She lets me talk. She lets me talk through, and as I'm talking through, I figure some things out. We also have a section on vision and values as well, and those are a little bit shorter. But I wanted to open up the process of determining mission as I've been so stuck on it. And I've just stayed stuck. And now after doing this episode, I am not stuck and I feel better. So if you're struggling with mission, vision, or values, this is a good place to start. It is less succinct than other episodes as there's a little more thinking and opening up and talking through just to see the process of determining mission. This is a good episode for people who are having a chill day. They're not in a big hurry. Ready? Let's dive in. Welcome to The Brilliant Creative. I'm your host, Ange Stocky, a former flower shop and boutique owner turned creative business coach. With over 25 years of entrepreneurial experience, I've tried all kinds of things. Sometimes the ideas worked like a charm. Sometimes they did not. Whether you have a new business that's ready to grow, or you have an established business that needs some refining, join me here where I help you, the brilliant creative, get really good at running a business while also living your life well. My experience owning multiple small businesses combined with over 1,000 hours of coaching entrepreneurs, all while raising a house full of boys, makes this a great podcast for business owners looking for a business and life refresh. Consider this podcast your weekly meeting with a coach. I'll help you get efficient by streamlining your workflow with systems. I'll help you prioritize which project actually needs your attention now with simple tools. I'll help you refine your workspace for maximum efficiency. I'll teach you how to master your business mindset so you can get out of your own way. And occasionally, we'll do some life coaching. Put this podcast in your back pocket and use it as a business tool to fine-tune your business and your life. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 47, where we're diving into the next topic in the EWOW series. It's your mission, vision, and values. Or as my friend Lori says, vision, mission, and values. The title of today's episode is how to figure out your business mission, vision, and values in one day. Let's make it easy. That's what the goal is. Remember, the EWOW series is about the 17 items found on the Entrepreneur's Wheel of Work, a tool used to keep your business organized and on track. We're dissecting it a bit so you can effectively use this tool when you need it. A reminder, if you haven't gotten your copy of the Wheel of Work tool yet, it looks like a clock with 16 sections instead of 12. Get a copy at angestocky.com/EWOW. So 16 equal pie-shaped pieces at the top, where the 12 would be, is where we start and we go clockwise. The thought is that you look at each pie piece and rate how it's going for your business on a scale of 0 to 10. The middle of the wheel is 0 and the outside is 10. This wheel gives you a pictorial representation of the totality of your business now. It helps you both to feel good about what you've done and what's working in your business, and it helps you highlight what needs attention now. And for those of you who tend to make particularly emotional business decisions, this can help you take the emotion out of it and make decisions based less on emotion. I believe some emotional decision-making is helpful, especially for creatives, but it's great to have a tool that helps you put yourself in a business mindset. So we've gone through the first three parts of the EWOW, and now we're doing mission, vision, and values. In today's episode, we're talking about how to make figuring these things out easier to actually complete. You guys, major confession. I've had a block around one of these. I've had a block around mission, and I gotta be honest, it's been kind of for a long time. I've had such a block around mission. It's because I've had such a hard time landing on my own mission. I wonder if you guys have too. Vision and values, I can rock that all day, mostly because I have really good tools to help people tease these out. But mission, I mean, initially, it just sounds so boring. I've thought that for so long. All the other stuff sounds so fun, like systems. Oh, so fun and useful. Branding, bright and colorful and artistic and just fun. Or employees and team. I can help with team all day long. That's just so fun and connecting. And for me, it's easy. It's easy to envision. It's easy to like sink my teeth into. But mission, it's like you have to get it perfect. It seems like there's no wiggle room and it's so serious. It sounds kind of like a rock, like you got to carve it in a rock. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you have to carve it in stone and then that's what it has to be forever? I just want you to know, if you've been leaving your mission statement till the last possible minute, I'm with you. I feel a little bit of failure at mission statement. I do think it's because of the perfectionist tendency. I want my mission statement to just resonate and shine and like sing and be meaningful on every level. I want you to feel it to the core of your soul. I want it to be powerful. Is that too much to ask of this tiny statement that we put next to our businesses? And don't even get me started. If you're a multi-passionate serial entrepreneur, you guys are probably going out of your mind trying to land on just the right mission statement that encompasses everything that you do. And if you have a business and life has recently thrown you a curveball and your circumstances have changed with health or your relationships or money or kids, you curveball people can find yourself in a bit of a mess around mission. So since I've been so blocked on mission, I've invited my dear coach friend, Lori Cota Peterson, to come on the podcast today. I told her, Lore, what can we do to make mission writing like more fun? I want it fun and easy and kind of like attractive and doable. And I don't want to feel like the mission I have today is a heavy anchor that weighs me down. I want a light, bright, happy, easy, simple, doable, happens while I sleep kind of mission that literally encompasses all of what I do. So today, you guys, let's check in with Lori and see if she can help. Lori's a longtime friend of mine. We've known each other since high school. She's a leadership and sales coach. One thing I love about Lori is her constant positivity. She is also brilliant at keeping things rolling. If you're having a meeting, you want her in it. She will keep you on task and intentional. Lori works with leaders, CEOs, and business owners, and she is a master of sales. She helps people get really good at selling and really good at being leaders. So let's see if Lori can help us make mission just a little more fun. Lori, welcome to The Brilliant Creative. We're so happy you're here because we need some help.
Thanks. It's so great to be here. And yes, we're going to keep it super simple today, for sure.
I'm in for that. I know that at this point, I've like whipped this thing up into a frenzy, and I just don't think it needs to be a frenzy. And I feel like you're the exact gal to help out.
Well, and like in a lot of coaching situations, I'm really curious as to why it feels so heavy, but we're going to table that discussion for a little bit and let's just go into the light and let's keep it simple and let's keep it fun and let's keep it easy.
I love that. Keep it easy. When she says easy, I'm like, yes, I want that. Okay. So Lori, so we're going to ask her a couple questions because we want to know some things about Lori. So first of all, Lori, will you tell everybody what you do in your own words? I used my own words. And then inside that, can you highlight what you are really good at?
Absolutely. My coaching practice is here in Duluth, Minnesota. We are regional currently. And my mission is very simple. It's to help leaders lead better and get powerful results in their businesses and in their teams. So a lot of the work I do really is working with entrepreneurial teams and the leader that's all of a sudden, oh my gosh, my business just grew and I need more people. And so a lot of that is like, okay, now I have all these people, what do I do and how do I help them do what they're really good at and help the organization grow? So there's a lot of parts and pieces into the coaching that I facilitate. And really a lot of leaders, business owners, entrepreneurs, sales managers, they struggle with mission too. And, you know, like we'll talk a little bit more, it's kind of a journey when you need to have that mission crystal clear. And the vision piece is a big part of it. And also the values is the supporting kind of legs to the stool. Mm-hmm. And I think it really shows up more in my practice because leaders are needing that mission to A, tell clients who they are, but B, tell their team and share with their team what they're about and what the company and what the organization is about.
And what they're going to keep going back to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a grounding. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, if you as a prospective employee don't resonate with the mission statement, if you're like, man, I'm not really about that, then you're probably not the right mm-hmm. person to join the team. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it can kind of work as a filter.
Yeah. And I think mission statement too, I think when people have big teams, it's even more important than, mm-hmm. I mean, like we've, like I've said, I've had a little trouble, like just landing on my own mission statement. And part of it is I have some people that I hire to help me, but I don't run a full team right now. When I had the flower shop, I ran a bigger team. Well, 10 people, whatever. That's not a giant team to me, but, you know, I ran a small team. And so it probably would have been more important to have a mission statement at that point, which I had a business for 17 years. And I wouldn't say that I ever officially had a mission statement.
Mm-hmm. Well, and creating a mission statement, I think needs to just be something that we do in an afternoon or even an hour or two. And we get a buddy and we brainstorm it, or we sit down in a favorite space in our home or home office with a candle and a cup of tea and a notebook. And we just start writing, like, what is it that we really are all about and how we show up in the world? The definition of mission is a specific task with which a person or a group is charged. And so when we look at it like that, we can really keep it simple and we can kind of make it our own.
As you're saying that, I'm trying to apply it right to my own mission statement and my own business. And that is helpful. Like, okay, let's just keep it a little more simple here. Let's not whip it up into a frenzy. Okay. can you highlight something that you feel like you're really good at in your business?
Intuitive, empathetic coaching.
Awesome. That sounds awesome. Will you expand on that a little bit? Say more about what you mean by that.
There's a lot of times in a coaching situation, especially with a leader that is leading other people, that they just quite can't put their finger on why something's not working. Maybe there's a trust issue. Maybe the team isn't following quite the way the leader wants the leader to follow or wants the team to follow. Or maybe there's some communication gaps. And most often I'm able to tease that out with the leader and really just say, okay, what's going on here? Tell me what you think is the issue. Tell me what you think is the solution. And we can tease that out and get closer to a solution than just maybe some other situations or coaches might be doing.
Okay. So intuitive and empathetic. Mm-hmm. Which I think is one thing that is so important, especially for leaders, because first of all, leaders are often alone. Mm-hmm. If you run a business, whether you're leading 10 people or 20 or 40 or 50, unless you've intentionally created a space for yourself with other leaders who are doing the same thing, you're oftentimes figuring everything out by yourself. What should I do next? What should I do next? It is why I believe if you run a business, own a business, if you're running a team, I just think you got to have a coach or you have to have a mastermind group. I mean, you have to have other people who you can talk about your thoughts and ideas with and bounce things off of and hear what they're doing, because it just makes, in one afternoon, it makes you more effective for the rest of the year. Like, you got to have these groups. You got to have a coach or a mastermind group or something that helps you become better at what you're doing, because just alone, it just takes longer and it's more challenging and it's sometimes uncomfortable. They say it's lonely at the top. It kind of is. I'm just going to say, if you're a leader, you felt it.
And you, if your business is wildly successful, you're like, oh my gosh, I hope I don't screw it up.
Yes. I want to keep it. I want to keep it this way. And how do I keep it this way? How do I capitalize on this amazing success that we're experiencing right now?
Yeah. And so it's having that partner, that guide to listen and to be empathetic to the situation, but also to challenge in very heart-centered ways of, okay, let's let's think about this thought. Is this thought serving us? And what are some new thoughts that might be more beneficial and get us to where we want to go faster?
Yeah, I love that. You guys, Lori, she's an awesome coach. Okay. Okay. So another thing that I love to ask interviewees, just kind of get to know you a little bit, is what's one system that you have in place in your work, at your office maybe, or maybe it's in your calendar system that significantly increases your efficiency?
One system.
Maybe there's two. Just
It's got to be my Monday morning, hour one, where I literally block out how my week is going to go.
Ooh, love it. Say more. Say more.
So I use a Google Calendar. We've got a family calendar that's integrated on that. And then I've got my calendar, which has my coaching practice as well as my life on it. And Monday morning, I sit down and I write through what I want to get done for the week on a list. And then I put those items on my weekly calendar. I can do everything with that. I can do nothing without it. So I think if I had to pick one system, there's lots of systems within those things, right, that I do as far as lead generation and working with clients and the actual hours of working my business. But I think if I couldn't do that on a Monday morning, I would die.
Okay. Hour one. Is hour one, why do I feel like I've heard of hour one before?
That is actually from Brooke Castillo.
Oh, it's from?
It is. Yeah. It's from the life coaching school. And I heard it like 3 years ago and ran with it.
Yeah. I remember. I feel like I used to listen to a lot of Brooke Castillo. Brooke Castillo has this school called the Life Coaching School. She's an amazing coach and teacher. And she is just quite brilliant. I mean, really quite brilliant, especially if you want to go into coaching. She's really brilliant. Or if you just want to have a lovely life, her podcasts are good for anyone. You don't have to own a business. You don't have to want to own a business. You could just go and listen. She's got hundreds at this point of podcasts, right? Okay. Anyway. So hour one. Yeah. I thought I'd heard that before. Okay. Hour one. I kind of like that. I'm thinking, what should I adopt it? Should I adopt it? Cause it sounds like it could be. So I do love a good system. So I really appreciate hearing about other people's systems. I think it's because I adore being efficient and using time well. So thanks for that. Okay, guys, today's topic, mission, vision, and values. I think we could talk about them in this order. And the goal is for listeners to have a way to get these done in one day. So pretty sure I'm going to be used as a guinea pig for this conversation because clearly I need some help with my mission. And getting in and getting started with what I consider a block for me, I think you guys could learn from it. So I think we'll definitely use me as a guinea pig. And then we can talk vision and values. I feel awesome about those in general, doing them, teaching them, diving into them, helping clients with them. And I think it's because I have really good tools, like I said before, to help clients extract them. So let's have just a little discussion around mission. Laura, I think I need some love around it. And possibly overthinking it or just being a perfectionist about it. Do you think you can help me?
Oh my goodness. Of course. Do you want to start with vision and then mission and then values? That's typically how I coach it, but.
You do vision, mission, and values? Uh-huh. Not mission, vision, and values?
Correct.
Oh, fascinating. Uh-huh. I always have it written and always have said it mission, vision, and values.
Interesting, right?
Okay, but let's go your way. Let's vote your way.
Okay. So my company name is Coda Vision. And of course, lots of time was spent figuring out the name of a business, right? And when I sat down to figure out really what it is that we want to do here at Coda Vision, the definition is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. And so I think vision has to go first as entrepreneurs because we know where we want to go and we have this dream and we have this vision of our life and the impact that we bring to the world and how we want to build our businesses. So that's why I always start with vision because then I think
I like that. I think also that sounds just right because here I'm saying mission is like such a block and other businesses have a block with mission. So why would you want or with mission. So why would you want to start with it? Because we are, as creative business owners, more able to sink into vision. You initially, when you're thinking about starting your business, you are creating a vision. in the air, in the sky, out of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, you said vision for you is easy, Ange. So how did you do it?
Vision for me is easy. I think just because I'm visually creative, I can usually see it before I can articulate it, right? I can see it in my head before I can articulate it or make a decision on it. But vision for me, one of my favorite tools to use for vision with my clients is, sending them to Pinterest and saying, make a Pinterest board of everything that feels like who you want to be next or what you want your business to be like or what you want it to feel like, look like, what you want to be doing in it. Or I could say, make a Pinterest board of all the things that you absolutely, you know, must do in this lifetime, if it's for like life coaching, right? And so if it includes travel, if it's cooking, if it's having a garden, if it's having a giant house, if it's having a boat, if it's having a small boat, if you have a canoe, like you can make a Pinterest board. So for people who love Pinterest, you know, that's an easy one. But the other tool that I use every time is, it's called the rocking chair exercise. You've probably done it, right? Where you have the person envision themselves sitting on a rocking chair. They're like 89, 92, something like that. They're just rocking away on the front porch. And then from that vantage point, they are to answer 5 questions. And they are all about, hey, what were you most proud of in your lifetime? What are you happiest with? You know, all these questions that really... And as you're in the rocking chair, when you're literally putting yourself in other, is what it's called in coaching, is putting yourself in other, you get super clear. I mean, it's the quickest, clearest exercise that you could do if you're just sitting there like, okay, what am I most proud of my lifetime? When did I have the most fun? Where did I feel the most joy? There are just like 5 questions and people answer them and they're like, oh my gosh, things got really clear really fast. Mm-hmm. So some of those tools, I think, help with vision, whether it's about your life. Also, I think figuring out what role you want your business to play in your life, right? Because I've always been a worker. I'm a worker. That's like my default is work. I love work, 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 work. It's so fun to me. I mean, other things I love to do too. I love kids. I love family, but one of the things that's always been a part of my life is working since I was very young, and I've had great success at working. So sometimes for me, trying to figure out at this stage in my life, I'm 51, what role do I want work to play in my life for me and my family? What role should it play now? And I sometimes need to go to the rocking chair and ask that person, mm-hmm. what's supposed to happen right now? What needs to happen right now? Is it a lot of work? Is it a little work? Is it a half day of work? Is it many days of work? Is it 3 weeks out of the month of work? You know, I'm homeschooling someone here. So what needs to happen now? Because it changes. Things change. I mean, it's just not, you get a rhythm going and then all of a sudden something happens. You're like, whoa, whoa, I love that rhythm. How can I get that back?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How about for you, for vision, like what are your favorite ways to figure it out?
Well, I love the rocking chair thing too, because it's like, okay, at the end of it all, towards the end of it all, what are we most proud of? Where did we feel good? And really, what was the impact in the world that we wanted to have? And sometimes I wrestle with impact and legacy and some of those things, because I feel like, hey, I'm just little me, right? I'm just doing my little thing in my corner of the world, and the impact feels small. But at the same time, then I think, no, it's bigger. It's that ripple effect, right? It's bigger than we think it is. And so then I kind of, I ease back into, oh, that feels good. So for me, I love still a good old goal poster. Twice a year, I refresh just a cutout magazine pictures and stick them up on a wall. It's like, I can see it right here it's on my wall in my office, where I cut out fun words and I just think about, who do I want to be this year? And then I just adjust it in the summertime for the rest of the year. It's just kind of ingrained. I think I've done goal posters since I was 22. And you look back at some of the pictures I've taken of goal posters, I'm like, oh, that happened. Oh, that happened. And it's just fun to see the transition over the decades.
Yeah, I agree. Goal posters, vision boards, sometimes people call them. Yeah. What's interesting is everyone I've ever made, 95% of the things on there, occurred. Mm-hmm. And at one time, having a podcast was on my poster, like mm-hmm. being a really good podcaster, being a podcaster that had really valuable podcast episodes. Like I had this written on my board, and then all of a sudden you kind of go back to your board and like, oh, well, that's completed. Like I did that. But at one point it was just like, should I have a podcast? I mean, all these little goals that you kind of achieve at one point, they're just a little tiny seed and you plant them and they grow, and they might not grow in 2 days, but they start to grow. So getting clear about like what's next for you, what you want next, what you want things to be like next year, and putting them on your goal poster or your vision board. I mean, literally studies have shown that seeing it even out of the corner of your eye regularly each day makes you make decisions that lead you towards it. So yeah. It's not like if you wanted a yacht, put a picture of a yacht where you're going to see it every single day. Literally, all of a sudden you'd be like, oh yeah, I've got a yacht. I mean, it's unbelievable how it works. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Your subconscious does not know the difference. And so right. Your subconscious is totally looking at that every single day. Like it's you.
Yep. Yep.
And it's proven in research. I have a quote here from Steve Jobs about vision. If you're working on something exciting that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you. So that's the other way I think of vision, is that it really pulls you towards your desired future. Mm. So that's just another way I look at vision.
I love that. The vision pulls you. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Okay. So vision. Vision's kind of fun. I think lots of people who are here have maybe heard about it, have seen it, have experienced it, and probably have Pinterest boards. You could, like, if you were like, oh, I love the Pinterest idea, you could super quickly within an afternoon put a Pinterest board together that was vision, right? That was your vision. And then you could take a picture of it and you could use it as your screen backdrop, your screen background, so that you looked at it every single day. And you would just be shocked at how your decision-making moves you towards it, because you're just looking at it every day. And you might not be registering that you're looking at it every day, but when I was listening to a person who was talking about how they actually make things happen in their life, and this is a multi-million dollar coach, right? One of these coaches who's like made it big and done all the things and, created courses and all that stuff. And, she said, that's one of their tricks that they do, is every time they want something, they put it as a backdrop on their computer because they're looking at it all the time and it comes. I mean, it's just amazing. Okay. Yeah. So the vision plays. Okay. So vision, and then mission, vision, values. So do you want to do mission now, Laura?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's move on to mission. And I would kind of keep us in the same vibe, right? Like, it's fun. It's good to dream. And I would encourage us to keep mission in that. We don't have to put a big stop on it and go, oh, now I got to do my mission. Let's just flow in the same direction. Okay.
And letting it pull us forward. Like yeah. There's something attractive about that. Mm-hmm. Letting the mission pull you forward and bring you where you want to be in the future.
Yep. Absolutely.
I love that. Okay. So let's get
start, my dear, on mission.
Okay, let me think. Where do I want to start on mission? Well, I think we should just kind of dive in and just give a, let's just like talk like friends. Okay, let's talk like pals, super cash, and just kind of like, I don't know, just chat it. Just chat, start with chatting it out a little bit. I'm kind of, just so you guys know, I'm kind of moving my shoulders up and down like, okay, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for this. I'm getting ready for this. Let's just kind of chat it out. Let's make it like a really connecting conversation, and then it's just going to happen. Let's just let it be that way. I just feel like this is like second nature to you. And it's not, I've just been struggling so much with mission. Like I always leave it to last because I'm like, well, mission, it's like pace to me. And I also think it's boring. And I think it's, I think I want to be a perfectionist about it. And I want to have this mission that just like captures like the light and the amazingness and the gloriousness of coaching and all that can happen during coaching. And it's like, I'm like, maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I just need to, I don't know. But what would that be helpful? Like, kind of like almost like, okay, here's what it's going to feel like. And then what would come next?
Yeah. Let's just play around with it and see what goes on. And then, Knowing me, probably overthinking it is probably less poignant than actually just talking about it.
One reason, Lori, why I think I struggled a little bit with mission is just so many changes in family life. Like when major things happen to kids and sicknesses, illnesses, whatever, and we've just had some kind of unique health situations over here where something happens to a kid and we're going down. Like as a mom, you go down for a bit, and all of a sudden what you had planned and all your momentum and everything you have going in your business, right, that you run from your little, lower level office empire is everything you knew before has changed because your kid is sick and you're at the hospital and you're visiting 12 different doctors and you're traveling and you're going to Mayo and you're going to Washington, D.C. And you, I mean, and all of a sudden you're like, what? Like, what just happened? It's kind of like you're in a tornado and you get thrown out somewhere else and you're like, well, what's important now? And what I guess what's sort of interesting is, as I've been thrown into the tornado a couple times now, I would say two to three times I've been in this really rough health tornado for kids and gotten thrown out in different spots. And I keep coming back to, like, I love business coaching. Like, this is, I love coaching creatives. I love coaching people who aren't creative too, but I really resonate with the creatives. And so I keep coming back. So I'm kind of like, well, this is, of course, like, this is the space I love. This is the space I'm really good at. I'm learning, I'm especially loving working with people who are opening flower shops or have flower shops or are opening like a flowery, planty shop. Anything that has to do with plants, gardening, moss, this interior design, interior plantscaping, exterior plantscaping, even like events, weddings, all the things that are attached to what my initial business was, the flower shop. Gosh, am I having fun with my clients? I've got people who are opening flower shops all over the United States, and we're talking about it, and we're helping them get moving, and we're removing barriers from basically what they're thinking, and we're giving them a little information that they really need that would have taken them days and days to find or figure out, but I've just got it in my back pocket. So that's been awesome and magical. So as I think of like what my mission is, I'm kind of like wondering, like, is it getting more and more narrowed as life goes on? And because I think this, I could get thrown into a tornado again, whether it's my kids or I have parents who are, 79, 80, 81. And I want to be able to get up from wherever the tornado throws me and be like, I'm up. Like you see that guy in the movie who fell in the middle of the dance floor and all of a sudden he's like, he's up. I want to be like, I'm up. It doesn't matter what occurs or happens. Like I can get up and I could coach you. If you're running your flower shop or opening your flower shop or whatever it is, like I could coach you with my hands behind my back, blindfolded on a dirt road in the middle of the night. Like, I want to, like, when I think of my mission, how does what I want to be doing, or what I want to be able to do kind of like feed into it? I don't know. I feel like the main thing that's gotten in the way of really getting super clear on mission is number one, oh gosh, it's so boring to me. I just want to do the thing. I just want to either make the flowers, right? Or I want to create the thing, or I want to be in the coaching session where we're coaching and it's awesome and magical and it feels so good. I don't want to sit around and figure out mission statement. I mean, I gotta, that's going to take forever. That's what I think. Okay, so that's like just a little pre.
Okay, so you just described your mission right there, so it's really done.
Okay, what was it then? Just let me know what my mission is. It'd be
When you're
real
talking
helpful.
about spinning around and being in the tornado and being spit out in a new place, you always can come back to that grounded place of I love coaching creatives And you kind of actually went into the niche a little bit when you were talking about flower shop owners and everything in the flower space and the floral and plant design space. That's niche. But then you've got your mission is I just love helping these people get from A to Z faster. And all you have to do is put two to three sentences around that and you're done.
Okay. Well, you say all I have to do is do that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, what are the three sentences then, like that we're putting together?
So if you, when you were talking, you just said you love coaching the creatives.
Love, love, love.
Okay, so the word love is a key piece.
Love.
You said you can do it with your eyes closed, so it's easy and not cheap easy, but have you been
No.
there? You've done it. It's
I
like
think it's deep
deep
knowledge,
easy.
wisdom easy.
Yep.
It's like, and natural easy. Oh gosh, do I love it.
Oh, I love the word natural. Okay. And then talk a little bit more about the people.
Well, first of all, they're usually wildly creative and they know they were like meant to do whatever it is they're being called to do. They can't let it go. Like their intuition or whatever, the vibes will not let them let it go. So they might be working at their full-time job and all they're doing is thinking about, this is, I gotta go. I want to be doing this other thing so badly. I am so called to it. And year after year, it just doesn't let up. And so then they finally decide, okay, maybe I'm gonna start a side hustle. And then, oh gosh, the side hustle. Wow, the side hustle's going. This is how so many of my clients just start out. My side hustle's going real well. Surprised how well it's going. In fact, getting in the way of everything because my side hustle is so popular and so many people are like, hey, we need you. We want you. Can you do this? Can you do this? And now they're working full time. They might have a family. They've got the side hustle. They're like dying to work on the side hustle all the time. They're waking up early, they're going to bed late. And all they want to do is the side hustle part. And they're trying to figure out, can I quit my job? I mean, literally, this is right where people are when they come to me. Can I quit my job? Can I? And usually their job has like some amazing benefits. And they actually probably kind of like their job. Like they got into it because they care about certain things. So they're usually more, the people I help, they're usually more attracted to certain things. They find a job that they like, they do it. And then they also are doing this side hustle. So, those are kind of like that's the space the people are in. And then they're trying to figure out, is it time to quit? When can I quit? And a lot of them are like, is it possible for me to quit? Because all I want to do is quit. Is it even possible for me to quit? Is this possible? And a lot of times they come to me like, hey, is this possible? I'm like, well, we got to do some math. Usually we got to do some math and some multiplication and some chit chat and some, hey, was it possible for somebody else? Anyway, I don't even,
So,
I'm getting off the beaten path here, but.
no, that's all right. So when you're thinking about the tornado, right, and your mission, I'll bring this back to you, Ange. When you're thinking about your mission, and you get tossed out, and you're like,
I'm up.
I'm up, I'm ready
I'm
to go.
up.
And is it the lane of coaching brilliant creatives, getting them to the place where they can say, yes, my side hustle is now my passion, my empowered life, and you help those people get to that.
I help them get to that, but that is like one place that people come to me in, and there are all these tools and things that we use in that space. But also I'm often helping people who've had businesses for 3 years and they're trying to refine systems inside their business, or they're trying to maybe get better at money. Like a lot of creatives have this relationship with money that's just a little bit complicated. That's a good word. And so they kind of are like, I gotta figure out how to just do money a little bit better. I'm super good at the creative. I'm killing at the creative. So there are these topics that are often needed by creatives that I spend time with my clients on. They usually want to open a second business or a third business or a fourth, multiple streams of income is such a big thing these days. We want to have multiple streams of income as opposed to just one job. And the creatives usually know it and they can see how they could have quite easily with a little turn of a key or a little a little switch over here, a little switch over there, how easy it could be for them to have another stream of income. So they split their focus very often, and helping them decide where to put their focus is another part of coaching. But I feel like I help these people in every stage. I even help them in the end stage when they're ready to sell their business, or if they're ready to open a second, third, or fourth business.
Yeah. So we need to keep your mission broader, because what you just described out there is all your tools.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to keep your mission broader. It can be as simple as our passion and hope is to help people feel better. And that is a client of mine who's in the wellness space. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Second statement is, whether it be through our services, education, or products we offer, our goal is to leave our client feeling better when they leave than when they came in.
Okay, say that second one again.
Whether it's through our services, education, or the products that we offer, our goal is to have every client leave our space feeling better than when they came in. You see how
those are broad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really broad, and it's two short statements, and it will resonate with your clients. And that's what we want. We want it to resonate with your people, where they're like, oh my gosh, Ange gets me.
Yep.
Okay. Mine is really simple too. Here's my mission statement.
Okay.
Coach business leaders to be better leaders and get powerful results in their teams and in their businesses.
Yeah, that's so good. I feel like that's even winnowed down a little bit, right? Like you've got it niched down a little bit, which is attractive to me, because I'm like, well, I'm a leader, so then I'm going to listen, right? Because you said leader, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll listen to that. What's she got going on for leaders?
Mm-hmm.
So I do think the words creative business owner should be in my in my stuff, because they are usually the ones who, like, I could talk to creative business owners for like a session. If a session is, sessions are usually like 55 minutes for me. If with these people, it's like I could be talking to them for 2 hours with them, helping them, answering questions, coaching them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what do you mean 2 hours has gone by? Like time's up, time's way up. It really is like kind of this creative space, these creative business owners. So I think the word creative business owner should be in it, because that is so my niche.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Let's just like, if people are listening to this, let's have them know that it is very hard, even for me, who I already know, I totally work with creative business owners, to say that, because I also have like a couple life coaching clients, and they're absolutely lovely. And I have a couple businesses that aren't creative that still coach with me and experience amazing results, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really, if I wanted to put it out there to the whole world, it would be creative business owners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't support, coach, empower, and help people that are looking for life coaching to the next level. This is just part of your grounding, your North Star. When you wake up in the morning, you got it. And it just helps you as a business owner simplify. It helps you with your marketing, simplifying that. It helps you with your prospecting when you're reaching out to new clients. It helps you with all of the things, so that you're not over here and over there, bright, shiny objects, right?
And what's interesting, what just occurred during our conversation,
mm-hmm.
when you said North Star, and you earlier said, when you wake up, you want this to be like guiding your day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if you said that earlier or just now, but in my mind, I have this vision of my website having lots of flowers on it, because I'm very flowery, right? I also teach flowers. I also teach flower classes and have a little flower school stuff online. And so, that is also part of me. And do I want it to be separate from my coaching? Well, it kind of is separate from my coaching. I guess if you were a totally like brand new person that was coming into opening a flower shop, maybe you'd take some of those classes. But there is part of me that I'm such a flower person. I'm such a garden person. I'm such an interior decorator person, that I'm starting to think that all of it should be sort of connected. And when I look at my website, it should definitely be representative of that. It's not quite representative of that right now, but I have this just picture that the flower part is actually integrated into the coaching part, which is what, okay, and this might help if listeners are listening here, this might help because if you have two different things going on, you know, and your focus is split, because my focus has always been split, like, hey, I want to teach people, I want to teach the everyday person certain flower things, right? And then I also want to help creatives get better at their business, get really, really good at being creative business owners. Because if you said, Ange, quickly write your business, write your business's mission statement, I'd say help creative business owners get dang good at being creative business owners. That's like every time I do it, that's it. And then I'm like, oh, that's like, sounds like paste. Mm-mm. But does it sound like paste to you?
Mm-mm. And you are describing where a lot of people end up being, where they have, they, especially if they're moving from a corporate job to a side hustle to their new business, right? Like they're, you're describing your journey as a flower shop owner, and now you're tying in the coaching to it, but you know, deep down in your heart, what's easy and fun and rewarding and fulfilling for you is both of those parts of you. And so I think that you're just in your journey right now where you're like, wait, those two are totally aligned. And the more I can do that, the more I'm in my zone, and the more my mission feels authentic to me, and the more we can really just run with that. And you can wake up in the morning going, hey, I help creative business owners get dang good at, did you say creative, creating their business? Say it again.
I said what I wrote down, because even before we got on, I'm like, well, I'll just write this down because this sort of is a thing. I'll just write it down. Help creative business owners get dang good at being creative business owners. And yeah, it's almost like you don't have to say creative again. Help creative business owners get dang good at being business owners.
Uh-huh. You could even insert something else that resonates with you. Just one little powerful tweak of a word. You know, get that thesaurus out. What's another word for creative? What's another word for flowers? What's another botanical word? Like it needs to be short and sweet so that it resonates for you and it points you to your North Star, where you're headed.
Well, I think one thing that creative business owners struggle with is they're so into the creative part, right? They just, their flow occurs during the make, right? When they're making, when they're painting, they're in flow and it feels so good. And when I describe flow, just for people who are listening, it's a space or a state where you're just so, like, time is flying by. All of a sudden 4 hours went by and you're like, what happened? What do you mean 4 hours went by? Is it already time to go pick up my kids? And then, like, one time I forgot to pick up my kids because I was so in the flow of creating and making this floral work. You also, like, your hunger gets shut off. So you're not hungry. You're not thirsty. It's like, it is this amazing state. And if you're creative, you've definitely felt it before. If you're a writer, you've felt it before. If you write music, you felt it before. I mean, just, lots of creatives have definitely felt this amazing feeling. You want to get into it as much as you can. If you're a decorator, if you love decorating your house and you start decorating and then like 2 days have gone by and you're like, whoa, what has happened? That's a flow state too. Like that is, it's so, it feels so nice and so good. So the point of my story is creatives get into a flow state and they want to stay there as much as possible. But then there's this business part that they kind of have to pay attention to, unless they have a partner that's kind of like the businessy partner and then they're the creative, which is certainly one model of how to run a business. But very often creatives want to just be in charge. They don't want anyone telling them what to do. They want to have their own time freedom. And also they don't want anyone else relying on them. They want to just figure it out themselves. So, and this isn't true of all of them, but as I've experienced it with all the people I've spoken to and spent time with and heard the, you know, deep inner longings of their heart and soul, this is, it's very common for many of these creatives to not be like, hey, let's partner up. It's not usually that. It's like, I want my own thing that I can do whenever I want to do it. And I don't have to rely on anybody else and nobody has to rely on me. Mm-hmm. So, okay. What is the point of that? Why did I need to tease that out? Oh, just because doing the business part is not particularly easy for them. It's kind of like they like their finance part. They kind of leave that till the end. Like those details, not a flow state for them, P.S. Please get a bookkeeper and an accountant if you are a creative and you have a business. It is the only way that I could survive because I wanted to be in flow state. I wanted to be making. And I always had a bookkeeper and an accountant to do the money work. I just didn't love it. I have switched my relationship with money just a little bit because I've done some of this coaching and I've had a money coach and I've learned about money coaching. So that's really helpful as like a creative person who's a business owner. There's just some things to look at and say, hey, I want to get better at this. And that's what coaching is all about. We already know you're super good at making your creative widgets, whatever they are. But there's this whole world of business that you probably want to work on. And coaching really helps creatives. And I think, like, for me, when I think of, okay, who do I help? I do think I help creatives because of the tools that I create to help them, because they're meant for creatives. They're usually visual. They usually could involve some sort of coloring. They just really break it down and make it easier for people who are visual artists or even people who are auditory to study, get better at, assess what's happening in their business now and what they need to do to fix it if they want to, or get better at it, or improve. So that's where I always go back to. I help creative business owners get dang good at being business owners. Mm-hmm. But I do think it could also be, I help creative entrepreneurs get dang good at being business owners. Mm-hmm. Or some version of that.
Or I help creatives get dang good at being wildly successful business owners.
I like this. I help creatives get dang good at being
or how about this Ange
yes
I help creatives get dang good at growing wildly successful businesses, because then you
yeah got growing ability. so good when you just said growing, I'm like, yes please, okay. Mm-hmm. growing wildly and actually
maybe not success, maybe another word, because success is so bleh.
I know, it's like paste, right? Mm-hmm. But successful is a word that my people like because it's grounded, they know it. And if you put wildly next to successful, it's mm-hmm. almost like, especially the flower people, the plant people, they're kind of like, ooh, growing wildly, right? They're attracted to those words. So the other thing I know is words, like every, I think another reason this has been so hard for me is because every word is important. Mm-hmm. One word or two words can attract you to something. Mm-hmm. One or two words can attract you to something. And if they're the right words, they'll attract you. And if they're the wrong words, you might be like, meh. Gotta go, you know? So it's almost like the perfection of this mission statement. Just gotta be like the absolute best.
Let's take the pressure off and keep it simple, sweetie. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I like. Okay. I knew Lori was gonna say that at some point. I help. Let's just get simple. Let's not go crazy here. Okay. I help creatives get dang good at growing wildly successful businesses. The word growing is like happiness to me when you say that. I help.
And I love the word wild. It just makes me think of all the wild branches and
yes,
curly willow and, you know, all and just crazy hydrangea bushes and, you know, all the things, right?
Okay, let's try it. I help creatives get dang good at growing wildly successful businesses. Okay, and then I try and see, like, then I want to look at this and say, is it true? Like, do I look like when I'm talking to my clients, do they have wildly successful businesses? Some of them really do.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people I've worked with, they might have decided this isn't for me. So then they decide, I'm going to either sell this business or I'm not going to do it or I'm going to change. Is it true? Well, Many of my clients have wildly successful businesses. Some of them are in the middle of growing, attempting to grow wildly successful businesses.
So that's still true.
Yep. I help creatives get dang good at growing wildly successful businesses.
Does it feel like a North Star, Ange?
Yeah. And remembering wildly successful. Like I want to describe all of my clients. I mean, that it's not going to be possible because it's up to them, but as wildly successful, like, oh my gosh, that business is wildly successful. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Actually, that really helps. I help creatives get dang good at growing wildly successful businesses. And I can even see it on the website. Like I can see it like, and I already know the fonts that it's in. So it's visually it, the vision is also in my head. So that's so helpful. Oh man.
I would challenge you to look at the word help. The thesaurus, coach, support, challenge. There's so many other words besides help. So I would maybe circle that one and go back to that one. So I have two things about mission that might be good to get out there.
Go.
Okay. When you were talking a lot about, you know, the business things that we need to do as creative business owners, and then the creative flow state that we would prefer to be in as creative people. I want to offer up that most every business owner, whether they're in insurance or they run a brewery or they're super creative with a flower shop, they all struggle with the mission piece. And so I'm going to say that it's a continuum of like, do it when you feel like your business needs it, right? Like we can start our businesses and we can get in the flow and we can get the widget out and we can do all the things. And then at a certain point, we're like, you know what? I've matured in my business journey. And so it's time for me to throw this mission. And we didn't even really talk about vision and mission and how they're different. And we can circle back on that. But there's kind of this continuum slash journey where we, as business owners, all of a sudden kind of go, I really feel like this is missing. And I really feel like I need to do this work to get this going. And it can kind of just be this knowing in your intuition that it's time to create a mission statement. I find a lot of business owners put their mission statement together when they are spinning their wheels on working with the wrong clients, or they're not attracting the right clients, or maybe it's time to add a staff member or a partner, you know, where they're like, oh, I need to have this mission figured out so people know where we're headed. And it's a lot to do with attracting that right customer and that ideal customer. And so I don't necessarily think that if you don't have a mission statement on day one of your business is doomed. No, it's a journey and you'll know when it's time to do it. And then we just got to make it fun, right? We got to like make it like brainstorm with a buddy, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was helpful. This was so helpful. Brainstorm with a buddy. Also, I just to piggyback on that, when you said it's a continuum, the one way that I can sort of be okay even making a mission statement at all is to say, this is my mission for now. And I think that's because of the tornado situation. Like, oh, I might get thrown in a tornado and spit out over here. Right now, for now, this is my mission. But I do think this has been present, but hasn't been teased out. And if I say this is my mission statement for now, it feels fine. Like I can put it out there and be like, yes, this is like, I'm going, this is like 96%. Like I feel 96%, which I probably never really felt 96%. And I think almost what helped was the wording and just brainstorming with somebody who has done it before. And I mean, if you are struggling with mission statement, it's worth just getting a session with a coach if you can, just to go, dude, mission by the end of this phone call. Like, let's go.
Yeah. And now that you have it 96% done, Ange, how do you feel?
Yeah, it just feels better. Actually, I feel like a lever has been pulled and like something's been removed from, like I'm a little mouse in one of those little
mazes
and now somebody has like taken and pulled up this thing that was in front of me and I can go. I can keep going because it was kind of a block for a while. And I don't really I'm like, okay, yep. Oh, not a block anymore. I mean, just one conversation can remove a block, you guys. And even before Lori and I got on today, I'm like, oh God, mission. It's just gonna like, I am just like, like that's how I felt. And then I'm like, get yourself together. Get your stuff together, Ange. Just, it's gonna be fine.
Well, and you were ready. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, don't put a lot of pressure on yourself if you're not ready to do it. But when you feel this like urging, you got to listen to it and you have to like, okay, it's time. It's time
Yeah,
for
it's
me to have
time.
that mission statement.
It's time. Okay, next we're going to chat about values. These are really easy for me just because of, again, I've got tools and I do this a bunch with my clients in a couple of different ways. So, Lori, I'm curious what you have found helpful in the area of values. I'm curious what your business values are. That'd probably be helpful for the listeners to know, but give us your take on values.
Okay. I'm going to go back to definitions again. Can you tell I'm kind of a definition girl?
I like it.
And it just says a person or business's principles or standards of behavior and really a judgment of what's important in life or business. So they're just those posts right under the stool of how we show up in the world. And for me, I can stay more focused if I have value statements instead of just one word. I use a year, a word of the year for me just as a guiding principle in general. But when I'm doing my values for my business, and actually these have stuck with me now for about a year and a half, which is good because sometimes I feel like I need to change them or adjust them. But my values are master of my craft, craft of coaching, being good at actually helping clients reach transformational change, being the master of that. Second value I have to keep me really focused is coaching leaders of leaders or emerging leaders of leaders, people that are not only leaders themselves, but are actually raising up other leaders.
I love that.
I am a Gallup certified Clifton Strengths coach. So my third value is strengths based, focusing on what someone is already good at, gifted at, in the zone of, and helping them maximize that and do that even more and get better results in almost near perfect performance is when you focus on that strengths-based piece. And then the last one I have is people-centric, just focusing on people, not processes, not stuff that gets distracting. It helps me remember that it's all about the people.
Lori, what I love about your values is that they have been further put into really specific context by creating statements around them. It's not like you just said strengths. I value strengths. That's one of the, my business values. Or you didn't say transformation.
Right.
You said really helping people create transformational change. So really their statements and their actual, like their actions, which I think is really helpful because your business might value love or travel, but the statement seems like, as I'm listening to it, I'm like, ooh, that really just, it's just meaty. It's just really clear and I can sink my teeth into it. Say a little bit about the difference between, hey, here's a list of my values versus here are some of my value statements.
If I were to say anything about it, it probably would just be that it just helps me stay focused on who I'm serving, who I am, what I'm about, and the impact that I want to have through my business and through my coaching in the world. It's just stronger for me. It just has more meaning for me than one word like successful or strengths or growth, right? All those things are important, sure, but in the world of Lori's coaching business, Code of Vision, sales and leadership coaching, what's the context and how do we kind of keep those values front and center to how we're serving our clients?
Yeah, I love that. It's just really focused. That's a good word. It's really focused and sort of lean and it's lean. It's like turkey.
You're so
I'm sorry. But I'm like, it's like, I was thinking of a meat. It was meaty. It's really meaty and it's super lean. It's like there's no extra stuff. It's just super focused and lean and like there's no fat in it. It's like turkey. Okay, sorry. Maybe I'm getting hungry at lunchtime. It's not even lunchtime yet.
Okay. Right. Lunchtime's coming.
Okay. Okay. That's awesome. I love it. When you are helping your clients figure out what their values are, what their value statements are, do you have specific tools that you like to use, or even just like a quick, my original title for this podcast is, you know, how to figure out your mission, vision, and values in one day. Like, let's just get this done in one day. Let's make it fun. Let's make it easy. Let's make it quick. I mean, hopefully you can do it in like 3 hours maximum, and then let's be done with it. If you had like a quick tool that you'd either point somebody to or could share for people to figure out their values or start at least first iteration of their values, what would it be?
Well, one of the tools I used actually is from you, Angela, a long time ago, was that value sort where you have all those words of values. So I think you probably have that at the ready, right? You can get to your
I do. I've got it at the ready.
Okay. So the value sort is really, really powerful. And then the other question I ask myself is, how do I want to feel? And when we get to how do we want to feel while we're working and in our business and who we want to work with, that's really kind of what guides me too. And how I want to feel, then I think about how do I have to think in order to feel that way. And it just kind of backs it out with, I want to get off a coaching call with somebody who's leading other leaders and just is feeling really empowered about where the team is going and how they're leading their team. And so then that is how I got to coaching leaders of leaders. So it was a little bit of back ending, right? Like, how do I want to feel when I am in the world doing my work? And then you can create that value from that feeling.
Yeah, that is super helpful. A lot of times I'll use, how do you want to feel in a coaching session? Because how do you feel now? How do you want to feel at the end of our coaching session? Oh, I want to feel peaceful. I want to feel like I'm organized. I want to feel more knowledgeable. Or they always say, I want to feel more confident about my decision making, right? About these decisions I'm making. So truly, that is one of the best ways, especially if you're really in touch with your feelings. If you're intuitive at all, if a lot of creatives are, you know, they're a little bit more emotive. And so, And maybe feel their feelings just a little bit deeper than maybe you guys are hearing this for the first time. There's studies have shown people who are creative tend to feel a little bit more deeply than other people. Just going to say, is it true of every single one? I'm not quite sure. I've just read that before. Yeah. So that is definitely like, that's probably a North Star for a lot of people. Like, how do you feel now? And then how do you want to feel? And when you're doing your work, how do you want to feel when you're doing your work? How do you want to feel when you get done working with a client? And then moving towards your values and your value statements that way. That's lovely. Brilliant. Okay. So they have a couple different ways. I'm kind of thinking I might, for everybody put the value sort out there for them to maybe grab from this exercise and, or from this podcast. Yeah. The value sort is an exercise that, has just been so helpful to me, and lots of coaches use it. It's actually in the public domain. So you could get it that way, or you can go to anstocky.com and we'll get you a copy of the value sort exercise that I have my clients go through. That might be helpful for you guys. Okay. Lori, thank you so much for coming on. I feel like we have done
okay.
Way.
Yeah.
Vision, mission, and values. Vision, mission, and values. We have done all three. We've gone through and we've given you guys a couple ideas for what you could do if you're just getting started here on these, or if you want to take 3 hours, maybe a day, to get this stuff done. I would highly suggest it whether you are in the beginning of your business, or even if you've had your business for many years and you're thinking, it's just time for me to kind of just hammer this out. I want to get even clearer. I want to focus just a little bit more. Lori, if a person's had a business for, say, 5 years and they don't have a written mission statement and they don't have their values, let's say, sorted out, how do you think doing it now, 5 years in, 6 years in, could be helpful to them? Like, why would they want to spend the time to do it?
I think you gain more in clarity once it's there. I think if you don't have that clarity piece with these three pieces figured out, you're inefficient in ways you probably don't really know yet. You know what I mean? I think there might be some tail chasing or some systems that aren't really working. And especially if you've got a team, and you're scaling, you really are probably wasting energy that you don't really know that you're wasting time and energy or even resources, without having this peace and this clarity in place. Because once you have this, it can really serve, like I said, as your North Star, and you can really make better business decisions, better people decisions, better resource time allocation, all of those even operational decisions, if you have done the work and have this clarity piece. It'll just make decisions that much faster and easier for you, especially, I don't know, especially when you're like when you work on your business versus in your business, you just have more clarity so that you're not spinning in certain areas.
It's interesting because it's the you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
You just in a lot of things in coaching, you guys are you don't know what you don't know. And then all of a sudden you're in a coaching session, you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea I was wasting an hour a day with that. Or I had no idea there was a way to fix that. Or there was like a common way in business that we address this situation. You don't know what you don't know.
Well, and if you're not clear on your mission, it makes it harder for you to say yes to certain customers and no to certain customers or projects or things. And then if you don't have a vision and a mission and values, it's hard for you to lead your team if your team is growing, even if it's a team of two or three. There's inefficiencies that are happening and things that you don't know if you don't have these pieces in place. So make it fun, get a buddy. Do it outside on a nice day. Just have fun with it.
Yeah, what would it take for you to make it fun? So
Yeah.
ask if you're listening, ask yourself, what would it take for this to be fun for me? And then do that.
Then it will start to get fun and you'll feel weird if you don't have it. And pretty soon in 10 years, you'll be like, oh my gosh, you have to do this thing. Changed everything for me.
I love that. Okay, Lori, if people, well, first of all, what is going on? Just kind of like to wrap up with you, we want to know what's going on right now in your business in terms of do you have anything that people can get involved in if they want to work with you or know more about you, how would they get a hold of you? Say a little bit about that.
Sure. We've got a website. It's CodaVision LLC.com. You can find out a little bit more about our mission and what we're doing out there. And you can reach me through that website. I do focus predominantly on sales, revenue generation coaching, helping entrepreneurs increase their revenue. And I help teams perform better, as you know. Those are the two predominant focuses of my coaching practice, and you can, reach out to me out through that website.
Lori, thank you so much for coming. I'm super grateful. I feel like we've kind of figured out mission, like literally just sitting down and talking to a person who does actually know me, and kind of running through it and just going back and forth. That was so helpful. So if you guys are trying to figure out how to do it, maybe just get a buddy. Get a buddy. Get a wordsmithing buddy or a coaching kind of buddy and sit down and do it. But
Well,
Lori, thank you for being on today. I'm so appreciative. And I
thank
hope
you.
that people will go to CodeVision and check you out, codevisionllc.com. If they are interested in sales coaching or leadership coaching, revenue generation. I mean, who's not interested in revenue generation? Like, let's go.
It's a big part of the puzzle.
It is. It is.
Thank you for having me today, Angela. It was fun, and I hope that the parts and pieces that we put together are really impactful for your listeners.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. Okay, see you soon.
All right, have a good day.
If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode, and for that, I am so grateful. Thank you. I hope you found value in this episode, and if you did, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And please share this episode with others who may be interested in this specific topic. I'll meet you here next week for a brand new episode of the Brilliant Creative Podcast. Until then, friends, happy entrepreneuring.